Hi everyone, you're back on with Listen to L Boogie. Today is Tuesday, October the 19th, 2021. I wasn't going to come on today and do an episode. I was going to actually wait until tomorrow. But there's a few events I want to cover, and they're current, and I want to cover them as they are happening. One is Supreme Court upheld two different cases of qualified immunity for two police officers involved in incidents. And the next one is a hilarious Congressman Cory Booker from New Jersey actually thinks, and he's trying to make black people think, that Joe Biden has a black agenda. This fool has lost his mind. So I want to cover these two things, and I may cover another topic. But again, this is you're back on with Listen to L Boogie. Hold on to your seats, and I'll be back with you guys shortly after this brief message. Peace. Hello, ladies and gentlemen, back on with Listen to L Boogie. We're going to dive right into our first bit of news as a part of this emergency episode. I wasn't going to actually make another episode until tomorrow, but we have a few things that are breaking that's going on. This one is by NPR. U.S. Supreme Court rules in favor of officers accused of excessive force. The U.S. Supreme Court has ruled in favor of police officers in two cases involving qualified immunity. The controversial legal doctrine that protects police officers accused of misconduct. The two cases concerning police officers accused of using excessive force when responding to domestic disturbances. In one, officers used beanbag rounds and a knee on the suspect's back to subdue him. In the second, officers shot and killed the suspect after he approached them while raising a hammer. Both decisions the court issued Monday were unsigned. No justices dissented. Qualified immunity refers to a series of legal precedents that protect government officials, including police officers, accused of violating constitutional rights. To win a civil suit against a police officer, complaints must show that an officer violated clearly established law, most often by pointing to factually similar previous cases. Otherwise, officers are protected from liability. Police advocates say that qualified immunity is necessary so that police officers can do their often dangerous jobs without fear of frivolous lawsuits. But those in favor of criminal justice reform say the doctrine has essentially created a catch-22. Officers are shielded from liability even when it appears they violated civil rights because there is no previously established law to challenge them because similar cases have not been pursued because officers are shielded from such cases. In practice, the doctrine has shielded officers from liability in hundreds of civil cases, even when accused of destroying property, killing innocent people they mistook for suspects, or stealing thousands of dollars. Okay. Case involving police officers accused of excessive force. The first of Monday's two cases concerned Daniel Devez Velasquez, a police officer in Union City, California, who responded to a 911 call from a 12-year-old girl who, along with her mother and 15-year-old sister, had barricaded himself inside of a room to hide from her mother's boyfriend, Raymond Cortzaluna, who was reportedly using a chainsaw to destroy things in the house. When officers arrived and confronted Cortzaluna, they discovered he was carrying a knife. Another officer fired two non-lethal beanbag rounds at Cortzaluna, after which he followed officers' orders to lay down. Revez Velasquez knelt on Cortzaluna's back and held his arms as another officer retrieved the knife. After the incident, Cortzaluna sued over use of excessive force. The Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals found that Velasquez was not entitled to qualified immunity, citing similarities to a previous case called LaDonne versus the County of Riverside, in which two officers were denied qualified immunity after kneeling on a face down unresisting suspect named John Lalundi. But in reversing the appeals court decision, the Supreme Court cited several factors set the two incidents apart. The officers in the Lalunda were responding to a noise complaint, not a domestic violence emergency. Lalunda was unarmed while Cortzaluna was carrying a knife. And Velasquez had knelt on Cortzaluna for only 8 seconds as officers retrieved the knife. All right. In the second case, three officers in Toledo, Oklahoma responded to an emergency call from a woman whose ex-husband, Dominic Rolles, was drunk and refusing to leave her home. The officer confronted Rolles in the garage where he grabbed a hammer. The officers drew their guns and yelled to Rolles to drop it. Instead, Rolles moved toward them and raised the hammer higher. Two officers shot and killed him. A lower court found that the Tahlequah officers had violated Rolles' Fourth Amendment rights when they recklessly created the situation that led to the fatal shooting. The Supreme Court reversed the court's decision, saying not one of the cases cited by the lower courts comes close to establishing that the officer's conduct was unlawful. The doctrine has critics, but so far efforts to change it has not succeeded. Justices Sotomayor and Clarence Thomas, among the court's most liberal and most conservative members, respectively, have previously criticized qualified immunity, though neither issued a dissent Monday. Congressional Democrats have made multiple attempts in recent years to limit qualified immunity, though none has been successful. The George Floyd Justice in Policing Act, which passed the House, would have restricted the defense, but negotiations over the compromise bill puttered out earlier this year. By shielding police from accountability, qualified immunity encourages more police violence against black and brown people, said Senator Markey of Massachusetts, a co-sponsor of a standalone Senate bill that would end qualified immunity. No Twitter after Monday's ruling. Okay, that's the first bit of information that I wanted to cover. When I come back, after this little short break, we're going to talk about Cory Booker's. I'll describe him when we return after this short message. Peace. All right, ladies and gentlemen, you're back on with listening to El Boogie. We're going to go over this issue with Cory Booker. I think he done lost his mind. I think he, you know, I don't know what's wrong with him, but he got issues. Let me find it. Okay. Alrighty. Okay. Well, I did want to say though about these incidents with police. Nothing's going to change. You have Sotomayor and Clarence Thomas having spoke negatively about qualified immunity, but you don't see them. They still vote, fall in line with the rest of the conservative justices, you know. So nothing's going to change. And, you know, Biden ran on, you know, police reform, and he hasn't kept any promises that he's made to the people that put him in office. But that's a whole nother show. What I want to talk about now is Cory Booker defends Biden's black agenda, urges black voters to show up in 2022. First of all, it's totally ludicrous. I do believe he has lost his mind. He may have smoked a joint or something to alter his consciousness for him to even come up with such something so ludicrous. But we're going to go over it anyway. This is by The Griot. U.S. Senator Cory Booker of New Jersey assures members of the NAACP on Saturday that all hope isn't lost on the black agenda in Washington, excuse me, and made the case as to why black voters should not sit out next year's midterm elections, despite growing weary of President Joe Biden and Democrats at large, amid stalled bills critical for black America. Booker, who has led the negotiations on how failed George Floyd Justice and Policing Act, along with fellow Democrats, U.S. Representative Carrie Bass and Republican Senator Tim Scott, acknowledged the legislative roadblocks to police reform and voting rights in a very divided Congress. The Griot, who was present at the virtual NAACP Board of Directors meeting, where Booker spoke with members about critical police issues affecting black America, from voting restriction laws being passed by Republicans across the country and the lack of movement to enact police reform amid continued incidents of police brutality and racial violence. Booker described the negotiation collapse on the Floyd bill as evidence of a toxic culture in the U.S. Senate. The lawmaker said that he would not stop in his push for a pathway forward for a national standard on policing. Booker told the oldest civil rights group in the nation that he worked 9 months on the bill and that he and Senator Scott could not come to terms, even as the Fraternal Order of Police supported the legislation. Scott had previously said during an interview last month that he walked away from negotiation tables because from his view, language in the bill that would withhold federal dollars from police departments that do not comply with proposed reforms was essentially defunding the police. Booker dismissed Scott's refusal to support the bill, touting the transparency and accountability it would have created for America's law enforcement agencies. If we can't get the bill like that, it's not worth happening. He said, if we can't get a bill like that, it's not worth happening, Booker explained. Now that the Floyd bill is essentially dead in the water, Booker vowed to work with President Biden to move forward on executive orders to address policing in America and do what he can to on the legislative side to ensure the president's other policy agendas are passed in Congress. Yeah, right. Okay. As the Griot exclusive reported on Friday, the White House is now mulling over executive actions Biden can take to enact police reform without the help of Congress. Booker remarks also comes from several months of voting rights protests and demonstrations in Washington, including one right outside the House gates that led to numerous arrests, including Ben Jealous, head of People for American Way. Members of Congress and Reverend Jesse Jackson Sr. were also arrested in previous demonstrations. According to the Brennan Center of Justice, there have been at least 22 laws enacted by Republican state legislators that restrict voting in ways that would critically impact voters of color. Civil rights leaders have been sounding the alarm about these bills deemed as deliberate acts of voter suppression in attempts to stave off black and brown voters who were a key demographic in electing Biden and Vice President Kamala Harris, and turning Georgia blue with Biden picking up the Peach State's electoral votes and U.S. Senate Raphael Warnock and John Ossoff winning their special runoff elections that gave Democrats that tight majority in the Senate. The Democrats' slim majority in both the House and the Senate is in jeopardy if enough Republicans pick up seats in 2022 midterm elections. The Griot White House correspondent April Ryan caused waves last week during a press briefing when she asked Press Secretary Jen Psaki about the black community's growing frustration with the Biden administration's lack of movement on key black issues like voting rights and police reform. Ryan highlighted that Harris's own friend and Democratic strategist, Bakari Sellers, called Biden's portfolio for Harris trash. Booker defended President Biden against criticism that he hasn't yet done enough for black Americans. The four-term senator that has that while he believes progress can still be made on the Hill as it relates to policing and voting rights, black Americans can't allow the focus on those two policy issues to distract them from the gains for the community that have been achieved so far. Yeah, he hitting the pipe. Including the child tax credit that Biden signed into law with the American Rescue Plan and executive order on environmental justice, equality, and climate. Emergency and infrastructure that would ensure 40% of its spending goes to communities of color. The president has done more on environmental justice than any president in my time, said Booker, who also touted Biden for cutting the nation's child poverty in half. Senator Booker also argued that police violence isn't the only type of violence plaguing black communities. Gun violence and poverty, which Booker described as a form of violence, also pose a threat to the black community, to black Americans, he said. Booker also reminded NAACP leaders that Biden administration released in June its comprehensive strategy to address and prevent gun-related crimes in communities of color. Much of the roadblock to achieving further key legislative wins for black Americans fall on two moderate Democrats in the Senate. Joe Manchin of West Virginia and Kristen Sinema of Arizona, who have refused to support a range of bills and have expressed their objection to eliminating the Senate filibuster that would allow Democrats to overcome Republican opposition. Booker argued that the key to circumventing the power of Manchin and Sinema is black voters showing up to the polls next November to help Democrats keep Senate seats in Georgia and Arizona and pick up additional seats in states like Pennsylvania in Milwaukee, which would give Democrats a 52 vote majority. Without black votes, Booker acknowledged, we will get decimated in the upcoming re-elections. We worked so hard in the last year's elections, we can't help. We can't let people get discouraged. Okay, once we return from this short message, I'm going to give you guys a spiel on what was just read. It's totally ridiculous. I mean, see you guys in a minute. Okay, guys, we're back. First, let me say, these fools, they don't cease to amaze me. Okay. They're basically blaming everything. They have the majority in the Senate and in the House. Now, it's understandable that you got two rogue Democratic congressmen that aren't really Democrats. You know, that I guess they didn't have a seat to run on the other side, so they ran as Democrats. But Biden having a black agenda. Here's what a black agenda is to myself and a lot of people like me that think the way I do. A black agenda has issues and things a black agenda has issues that specifically affect the black community that should be addressed. That is a black agenda. A black agenda is not passing bills that don't affect black people particularly. Child credit, that is something that all Americans can take advantage of. That is not a black agenda. That is not a part of a black agenda. Things that would be good for the country as a whole is not a black agenda. It is an agenda for the country as a whole. So he knows what he's doing. He knows that if black people don't turn out in 2022, that is their ass. The Republicans will take over the House and the Senate, and I believe they are, and it's not going to be by a short margin, it's going to be by a larger margin, and I really do think that needs to happen as punishment for this president totally ignoring black people since he's been in office. Cory Booker, to me, is a bona fide coon, because if he's up there defending President Biden, what he has done for black people since he's been in office, he is a boot-licking, buck-dancing, clown-ass nigga. Because Biden hasn't done anything specific for black people that put him in office. Now, he's done things specifically for the Asians, specifically for Afghans, specifically for transgender, and specifically for other immigrants, but he has not done anything specifically for black people. So, environment, how is him protecting the environment going to affect black people in particular? It does absolutely nothing. Whatever's done for the environment, that air covers the whole entire earth. And the air under the United States, which everyone in the United States lives under. So they know they're getting ready to get drugged. He's speaking to the NAACP, who has totally lost their credibility after what this president has not done, considering the fact that black people put him in office in a very close race. So it's time. It is too obvious that Biden does not give an absolute damn about black people. He's made that clear since he's been in office by his actions. He's made it clear by his words in a leaked tape from when he first got elected and was speaking to quote-unquote legacy civil rights leaders, for lack of a better word. So Cory Booker need to go sit his ass down somewhere, because he may, and it's the sad part about it, it's going to be some foolish Negroes that's going to turn out and vote. Probably the old civil rights generation. And I can see if what the president has not done was in vague terms, but you can see and touch what he has not done on purpose for black people in particular since he has been in office. He hasn't done anything. A holiday, a federal holiday, for Juneteenth that all Americans can benefit from. But see, but that's the way they think of us. They think we stupid. You have the majority in the House and the Senate. The Senate, the House, the Democratic-led House hasn't written a bill. They wrote the George Floyd bill, but then that's in gridlock. They can't pass that. So they have failed to deliver for us time and time and time again. And now it has, the chickens have come home to roost. And like Malcolm said, chicken come home to roost ain't never made me sad. The chickens coming home to roost always made me glad. You know, so this is the chickens coming home to roost. But at the same time, it's our responsibility as black people to virtually send them a message that you can no longer take our vote for granted. You know, and, you know, I'm not going to say not vote, not to vote, or to vote. But I will say this. Voting, not there's more options. We have, and we've always had these options. There's more options than just turning out to vote for no good reason. And riding around with a sticker on your car or on your clothes and bragging about you voted. For what? You stood in line. You cast your vote for a fool that has not done anything for black people since he's been in office. And it's not even, he's not even hiding it. So, but for Cory Booker to come up and defend this president who hasn't done anything specific for black people and who hasn't planned on to doing anything, hell, Kamala Harris ran on, she was truthful. She came out and said, I'm not going to do anything specific for black people now. So it was known from the beginning. They you know, what was going to happen. But they used the Jedi mind trick. And black people fell for the Jedi mind trick again and voted this man in office. He hadn't been in office a year, and he has totally turned the country upside down, and in addition to not doing anything for black people in particular. So that's all I have to say about that. They are going to suffer. As far as I'm concerned, the Democratic Party is done. They still have some black supporters that are going to turn out, the foolish ones, but they foolish. They might as well be consistent. You know what I'm saying? Since they are foolish, and they might well be consistent and keep on being foolish, but they are going to lose the House and the Senate, and it's not going to be close, because we are fed up with them. We are fed up with them, and we are about to change the game. It's time to do something different. If they can't deliver, then we shouldn't support them with our vote. I'm going to end this episode with these remarks, and I'll see y'all guys again on future episodes. Depending on how the news go and what's going on in the country, I may end up doing another episode tomorrow. But I really enjoy doing this, bringing this news content to you guys, and my short bit of wisdom. But some things are just common sense. Voting is quid pro quo. I vote for you, you do something for me. Not in the reverse. I vote for you and you don't do anything. So, I mean, it's over for the Democratic Party. It's over for them. I say for midterms and the presidential election. Biden is going to be a one-term president. One term. Because we pissed. I'll holler at y'all again. Like I always say, love each other. Peace.